The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
More fishing time around the bay, and it's looking a lot like 2015 at Port Moeller. It's July 10th. I'm Molly Dishner with the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. This afternoon, Port Moeller analyst Michael Link offers a little perspective on the 2016 run.
Every year is different. This one has got to be one of the more different ones because a bunch of us earlier this year were just saying, what are the chances you're going to get two anomalous years back to back? And many processors and others who've been in the business for 20 or 30 or 40 years all said, we never see two similar runs back to back. It just can't be like last year. And here we are, at least on July 10th, looking awful lot like last year.
And Knack Knack set netter Melanie Brown tells us about a new book about salmon that she contributed to.
I love remembering my great-grandmother and great-grandfather, Anna and Paul Chacon. Emma, my great-grandmother, would always have good food waiting for us when we would come back from fishing. As we sat down, she would always say to us, eat full.
Those stories after we run down the numbers. Bristol Bay total run through Saturday, 21 million salmon. Yesterday's catch, 1.3 million bay-wide, bringing the total to 15 million. And escapement for Saturday, 712,000, season total, 5.4 million. Breaking that down by district, Ugashik's Saturday catch, 296,000, season total, 2.4 million. Escapement at the Ugashik River, 63,000. Yesterday, total, 375,000. Igigik's Saturday catch, 443,000, season total, 4.4 million. The count on the Igigik River was 111,000 Saturday, season total, 1.1 million. Knack Knack Quijack, 424,000 fish caught Saturday, season total 3.1 million. Escapement for the Quijack River, 410,000 Saturday, season total 1.6 million. Knack Knack escapement, 46,000, season total 854,000. For the Nooshigak District, 216,000 fish caught yesterday, season total 4.8 million. As for the counts, the Nooshigak sonar counted 1,300 kings yesterday, season total 118,000. 13,000 reds counted at the Nooshigak sonar, season total 540,000. And 40,000 reds counted at Wood River, season total 835,000. Igushik Tower, 25,000 yesterday, season total 125,000. Togiak's catch, 14,000 Saturday, season total 183,000. Tower at Togiak counted 2,000 reds yesterday, season total about 10,000. Now to the boat counts. Ugashik, 278 permits on 215 boats, going up to 297 permits on 230 boats in 48 hours. Igigik, 353 permits on 279 boats, to 352 permits on 270 boats after the wait. Knack Knack Quijack, 627 permits on 506 boats. That does go up to 678 permits on 545 boats. Nooshigak, 337 permits on 261 boats. Also an increase coming, 342 permits on 265 boats in 48 hours. And Togiak, 43 permits, 43 boats. Looking now to Port Moeller, Saturday's daily index 77, that's tied with July 8th for the best yet. Still waiting for the full report on today's fishing, but it looked like catches were down just slightly from the early report. We'll have a little analysis of what the numbers to date mean in a moment.
Hi, Bob King here for the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Think chilling your fish is too expensive? New chilling systems on the market offer good value at competitive prices, and they're geared towards smaller boats. They mean a better price and pay themselves off in a few years. Of course, you have questions, and help is available. Call 439-3566. Talk about what works for you. Salmon's future is chilling for the Bristol Bay RSDA, I'm Bob King. Good luck and good fishing.
The word is about, there's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here.
The next best thing is here. Friday and Saturday's port molar numbers were the best yet. Yes, you heard that right. On July 8th and 9th, port molar catches were peaking. Those fish very, very roughly about a week out from Bristol Bay's fishing districts. Michael Link is one of the analysts for the port molar test fishery. This morning, he took a few moments to talk about what those numbers mean.
Both the port molar indices this year, as well as the inshore run catch and escapement, seem to be mimicking 2015 more than any run that we've seen in the past, I think. Both the inshore run still building at this late stage. The indices look like they will have peaked on 8th, 9th of July at Port Molar. So everything seems to be most similar to 2015 when a good portion of the run came in after this date.
Timing isn't the only thing that's a little different from the average this summer. Normally, the east side stocks show up at stations 2, 4, and 6, and the west side stocks are farther from shore at 8, 10, and 12. It's not quite how it's working out now.
Analysis that the Gene Lab, EDF&G's Gene Lab, did a few days ago suggests maybe this year we're getting more distribution farther offshore, so the east side stocks are being found all the way out to the middle and outer stations, and the stocks typically found out there have not been found so much inshore and possibly are migrating out beyond station 12 to an extent. We don't know that because we didn't fish out there, but things are starting to suggest maybe the whole run was shifted a little further offshore than we've seen in the last 10 years anyway.
It may be too early to draw many conclusions, but Link says that two outlier years in a row may indicate that change is afoot, or at least historical run timing is no longer the most reliable way of looking at the run.
We ought to be careful about what we call normal and what we call late. If you can get these two extremes, at least for decision making, we should be careful about trying to use the historical data set to predict what might happen. These are two very anomalous years. I don't think it's too soon to put a little less emphasis on historical relationships, a little more on in-season interpretation, things like the pattern of arrival inshore and the pattern out at Port Molar, and things that are telling you more about this year than just sort of that traditional Bristol Bay run timing.
For all that is known so far, it's still hard to say just how big the total run is going to be. Link says that's partially because no one knows what the next few days will bring.
So if it dries up out there today, tomorrow, and the next day, and we just start getting water hauls, that's a dramatically different projection than if it stays up. So having said all that, it seems to me we'd be hard-pressed to not make 40 at this stage. Whether we make 50 or more really depends on how fast this thing drops off. It's not showing any signs, but we know that late in the year, things can change pretty fast, and it just starts to dry up. But right now, it seems like it should be able to sail through 40 anyway.
But total run isn't necessarily the most important component of management, he says.
Really, to manage the fishery, managers can't just turn the exploitation rate on to 100% at this point here out if they meet their goals. They've got fish to work with, and now they need to work with the weather and the industry, the fleet, to sanely fish the remainder of the run and not get too hung up on if we hit the upper end or just a bit above escapement goals. They could not have predicted the lateness of this run, and I don't think people should take meeting of the escapement goals as too literal. It's working with what you got left to your best of your knowledge as you go through. So I think they've got a reasonably good job ahead of them to just spread out the harvest and get the escapement they need to keep the runs coming in the future.
This summer, the test fishery at Port Molar will operate through July 12th. That's the latest it's ever gone. And we'll be waiting to see what it brings.
I don't know where I'm going, but I sure know. Here I go again.
Continuing our series looking at fishing books, this afternoon we delve into a collection of essays called Made of Salmon, Alaska Stories from the Salmon Project. Every Alaskan has a story about salmon. The Salmon Project set out to collect dozens of those in a collection released this spring. In her foreword, Salmon Project Executive Director Erin Harrington captures the premise. Salmon and Alaskans, we have danced with one another for millennia, for thousands of journeys around the sun, for more than 3 million spins of the earth, for hundreds of thousands of turns of the seasons, we have shared a rhythm. Each year, a great number of the hundreds of millions of salmon that mass and swirl in the currents of the North Pacific point their noses homeward and return to us. And we, in turn, move toward riverbanks, lakes, the ocean shoreline. We point our bows toward fishing grounds and travel to meet the fish on their return. As they surge toward us, we surge toward them. They help shape the rhythm of our lives. The book captures those rhythms, with stories from the fishing grounds in Bristol Bay and Kodiak, Petersburg and Chisto China, stories about the hotels where management decisions are made, kitchens where salmon is cooked up. One of the contributors is Melanie Brown, a Naknek set netter who writes about salmon memories of her great-grandparents, Anna and Paul Chacon.
When I first started fishing at age 10, my great-grandfather was still part of our family operation. One time he and I were left to pick a piece of gear after it had been floated up on the beach, and the rest of our crew went on down to pick our other sight. We had a lot of fish to get out of the gear, but my young and awkward hands kept working through it as Grandpa and I worked side by side. I was happy to be doing something other than hauling and happy to be with my grandpa. Although he could not see the fish very well with his old eyes, his hands knew how to get through the gear. The longer we picked, the less clumsy my hands felt. As I felt my skill growing, next to me I could feel my grandpa's strength waning, and I could not help but have mixed feelings. Those feelings subsided when I sensed his pride. It was as if I could feel him passing a torch of sorts.
Now Brown is passing that torch on to her own children, who fish with her at the family's set net site. She says she's enjoyed thumbing through the book and discovering other people's salmon memories and connections and stories.
I really like Seth Kantner's piece. It's really a vivid picture of his home stream. It's nice to envision that, other people doing something similar to what I do in Bristol Bay with salmon. It's just nice to feel that universal thread.
Kantner, who lives in the far northwest part of the state, writes about the things a subsistence-focused community learns as a commercial industry takes shape. Row maturity and quality, what the yen means for salmon prices, words like smolt, escapement, testnet, sonar, aerial surveys. He touches on some challenges that resonate in Bristol Bay, too. Area M interception, bad prices, the fear of mines, decreasing local participation in a fishery. And he captures the universal feeling of being in a salmon place. Now on the big river, rain begins to patter down, splashing on the rocks around me. In the falling dusk, I turn to walk across the bar and wade the shallows back to my home on the hill. Tonight, I don't feel any of us have done anything spectacular here. Only been lucky, inhabiting a spectacular place at a spectacular time. One we've shared with salmon. When she's not sharing the knack-knack with salmon, Brown spends much of her time working to protect salmon runs across the state. And still, she says, writing is a good way to remember their worth.
I think it's easy to take things for granted, but when you make a concerted effort to sit and focus on what you hold dear, it's a really, really good exercise to kind of check in with what's really important and what really matters in your life. And salmon, I know I say this a lot, but I feel like I'm here because of salmon. I don't think I would exist if it weren't for salmon. Salmon are a thing, but they are also a value to me, an important value.
Salmon as a value. It comes up again and again in the book, in haikus and short snippets and entire essays. Emma Teal Lakaitis sums it up. How does one thank the source of her existence? In my dad's words, we catch God and we eat her. We do that with gratitude.
I can feel the tides changing, rising, all to say hey.
Bay Fisheries Report comes in part from Bristol Bay Brailer, offering brailers, slush bags, and custom fabric projects. More information at 907-469-0782 or online at bristolbaybrailer.com.
Letters in our mailbag tonight. The first for Mark and Cannon in Pilot Point. A listener writes, "A huge hug and lots of love for Mark and Cannon in Pilot Point. We hope you have a terrific day fishing, and we love you and miss you. Remember your prayers. Love, Burton, Janine, Keaton, Caitlin, Corbin, and Thor." The next for Clayton. His family writes, "Hello from the Wisconsin family. We love listening to the Bristol Bay Fish Report, and we love you. Hope you are headed into some big number days. See you soon." Listener Teresa Capo of Wasilla took the time to record her letter, along with a few memories from the fishery.
Hi, Timothy. Hi, Heidi. And hi, Jeff and Sarah. I'm just thinking about you all today, and I know that you've gotten all your bills paid so far. That's great. How exciting. And I'm just thinking about you have sore hands and sore backs, I'm sure. Some memories are also coming to me, some memories of just being at fish camp. And, you know, I remember such a reoccurring memory, I guess because it could be horrifying, is that when the skiff is going dry, someone says, "Hey, the skiff is going dry." And there's an opening in a little bit. We can't afford it to go dry. So we say, you know, "Who's going down there to push it out or to anchor it out?" And we realize it may be so dry already that not one person can do it. We need to get two or three down there. So we all go down and we push it in. And if we can't push it in, there's so many times we've asked for help and people always help. That's so great. And, you know, we push it in and we have another triumph, another teamwork effort where we triumphed in. Another memory comes to mind is just Christopher at age 10 is asking if he can go down the beach and go dip netting. And I'm really busy trying to get ready for the opening, making sandwiches, coffee and all that for the skiff, and hoping that there's a lot of fish because we haven't been getting many on that particular tide. But it's the season, it's the week where you need to be on guard. And I agree, though, that he can go down with Timothy and dip net. And all of a sudden, Joey comes running in. "Mom, they got a lot of fish." And I'm like, "What?" And I scramble, running over the bank, hollering at them to pull that dip net out of the water. "Get those fish in the skiff and cover those fish up." And I go down there, and sure enough, there's a bunch of fish in the stern. And I don't know whether to praise and encourage Chris or scold him, because we sure needed the fish. They sure looked good. But it was before the opening, and even though the fish and game had not yet flown over and saw it, they could have. We could have gotten pinched. But as it is, another great memory, I don't know how great it is one day Joe and I are going to get like 5,000 pounds. We've got a small skiff, and it's really a bad weather day with heavy mist, heavy fog, and it was rough. It was going about 35 or so, and we're going delivering these fish, and Nelbro at the time had gotten a new scow, and we didn't know the name of it. And through the process of elimination at the scow shoot, we finally see one that we didn't recognize, and like, we get close enough to see the name, and it says Massacre Bay. And boy, I just shuddered in fear, because I had already been experiencing wave after wave, water coming over the bow, water coming in the stern. And I was just hoping Mr. Capo didn't feel the same fear that I did, because I was really afraid that at that time. And it was afterward, I get ashore and rest and eat, and I realized that all my fear was because I was hungry and I was tired. And so fear often is just an illusion. If you've got food in your belly and you're rested, you don't have to be afraid. Y'all remember to eat. Anyway, so many nice memories out there. I hope you're having a great time. As for me here in my retirement, watching the grandchildren, just to let you know, Ember has been singing "Let It Go," and Hunter has been copying her. But she's added another song to her repertoire, and it is "Peace and Harmony in All the World." Well, because she's teaching him, she's repeating it three times, and he's repeating it three times. So in my retirement, I'm going to let it go, and I have peace and harmony here I'm enjoying the children and the chickens. That's another story. Until next time, may you sing for joy at all the abundance that God gives and give each other an extra encouragement. Love, Mama.
If you have a message for the fleet or other tips, story ideas, song requests, drop us a line. Fish@kdlg.org, Dave@kdlg.org, Molly@kdlg.org, or call us at the station, 842-5281. Back in a moment. In other fish news, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled unanimously that Washington is violating U.S. treaties with tribes by allowing failing culverts to block salmon from more than 1,000 miles of habitat. The federal court ruling upheld a 2013 injunction requiring that state to fix most of those culverts by 2017. Also in Washington, heavy rain and cooler weather is being heralded for potentially sending more salmon upstream the Yakima River. In Virginia, beachgoers are reporting that a deep-water fish is showing up on shore. The northern stargazer was spotted at a surf competition. It's a strange-looking fish with a speckled, flattened body and a large head. In sports news, Portugal is playing France today in the European Championship. Tied 0-0 shortly before our 1:30 broadcast, Portugal's Cristiano Ronaldo left on a stretcher not even 30 minutes into the game with an injured knee. 29-year-old Spanish Matador was killed by a bull during a live broadcast, part of the San Fermín Running of the Bulls. He was gored at an arena about 3 hours south of Pamplona. And something a little more cheerful, Andy Murray beat Milos Raonic to win his second Wimbledon today. That's just about it for tonight's show. The marine weather forecast for Bristol Bay tonight: northwest wind 20 knots, seas at 6 feet, and some patchy fog. Monday, northwest wind 20 knots, seas at 5 feet and patchy fog. And from Port Hyden to Cape Sarachef tonight, northwest wind 20 knots, seas at 5 feet, patchy fog. Tomorrow, northwest wind 15 knots, seas at 4 feet, patchy fog. Catch our replays at 6:30, 10, and 2. Find our shows archived online. I'm Molly Dishner with help from the rest of our team. Keep in touch. We'll see you back here on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report tomorrow.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report was made possible in part by the Bristol Bay Fisheries Association, advocating for fishermen. More information at bristolbayfishermen.org.